It is a brand new episode of Flyers Daily here for Wednesday, July the 16th. Flyers Daily is always brought to you by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. I'm Brian Smith in today for Jason Mertidis, who is taking the day off, getting a little bit of extra rest as he continues the good fight. And he is hopefully at a bit of a milestone here as he's reached the end of the second part of his cancer battle. And now a little bit of time to recover before they figure out next steps, if any. Hopefully everything's taken care of at this point, but Jason will tell you all about that here, I'm sure, in the next couple of episodes. But again, he's getting a little extra rest today, and I'm jumping in at a good time here, I think, because we got a lot to discuss that I can kind of chime in on here. One of the things I might be chiming in on with Jason on Friday is the schedule. And depending on whether you're listening to this in the morning or the afternoon, schedule is either going to be out soon or is already out. Schedule is released at 1 p.m. today. So, again, if you're here in the morning, check back at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com at 1 o'clock and get the itinerary for the coming year. If you're here in the afternoon, it's already there. And you'll be able to jump in and take a look at where the Flyers are going to be and when in 2025-26, as the schedule will be out here on this Wednesday. And Jason and I are going to break it down a little bit for you on Friday and take a look at some of the ins and outs of the schedule and where the Flyers are going to be benefiting a little bit and where they're going to have a few challenges. The only thing we know for sure prior to the release is that the Flyers are going to have another big break in February, as it's an Olympic year. And so there'll be another probably two and a half week break in the month of February. And, of course, that means a little bit of a compressed schedule in the rest of the month. So we'll break it all down for you on Friday. But in the meantime, you'll be able to take a look at it here at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Also convenient for me, I guess, to jump in here today, as we're going to be talking with Jack Nesbitt here in a little bit about his development camp experiences. But also, I get to chime in a little bit on the fun the social media team had yesterday, because you know, it's the off season and we're all doing things that you know, maybe we don't have time to do during the season. You got a little extra time and get to have a little bit of extra fun on the social media side. I just tonight finished changing the steering wheel in my truck, and if you're wondering why I changed the steering wheel in my truck, well, you're joining my wife, because she'd wondering the very same thing. Why would you change the steering wheel in your truck? Well, I bought the thing 4 years ago. The steering wheel was pretty grimy. It was a used truck, F-150, and I threw a cover on it, and that cover is starting to now fade away. So it's got a new steering wheel. So it's on the truck now. Again, things that you can do in July when you're a part of the hockey world. But our social media team jumped on a bit of a trend here with you know, taking a look at some of the things that you know, have come along in the history of Instagram. And I guess the point of this is that back in Instagram's infancy, maybe there might be some pictures put up that weren't quite as good quality as the ones you normally see today and you see here from development camp. I assume they hesitated to post this maybe because of our friend in the middle here between the two guys. I don't know. And if you're following us around on YouTube, you'll see what we're talking about. If you haven't seen this or you're just listening to this podcast today, chime on over to the Flyers Instagram and you'll be able to kind of see what the big deal is here. But, you know, they hesitated to post this recently. So some of the things that they posted with zero hesitation 12 years ago or so, 2013, you see one there. You see another one here from 2013. That is our buddy Adam Hall making an appearance. 2013, it's Mr. Train. And I just want to take down the I want to take down the banner just for a moment here so you can see the Mr. Train name tag, which is a huge part of our buddy Wayne Simmons. He jumps on the Mr. Train name tag there. So again, that's a kind of a look back at some of the Instagram posts from a while back. You've got the Ricardo Montalban version of Sean Couturier here. You know, again, a couple of hairstyles ago. Our buddy Coatsy coming down the ladder from 2015. And then to kind of wrap things up, I went a little out of order, but you have this. This is yours truly, about 50 pounds ago, with Travis Sanheim. also perhaps about 50 pounds ago, but this is at the 2014 draft at Wells Fargo Center. And obviously neither of us look like this anymore. So it's a bit of a rundown memory lane here with some of these Instagram posts today. But again, some fun for the social media team here over the last, a couple of days that they're able to jump in there and get some of these things in. Again, you just kind of get a look at what things were like back in, I don't know if you'd call it Instagram's infancy or if you would call it something else, but just a little bit of a laugh there as that popped up. And my kids weren't even sure that was actually me. My daughter in particular was, I don't think, 4 or 5 years old when that interview happened. I don't even remember that interview, to be quite honest with you. I remember the draft, but don't remember that particular interview. But, things come and go over the years. And that was just a little bit of a fun look at some of the blasts from the past in the Flyers Instagram account. With that behind us, we're going to move on to Jack Nesbitt, who joined us during Flyers development camp. Had a very impressive development camp, did Jack Nesbitt. He got the winning goal in the scrimmage at the end of camp, and the Flyers moved up to get him in the middle of the first round, and he'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit about his experience throughout his first camp in the Flyers facilities, getting the chance to come down here, meet everybody, and just kind of getting the feel of what the organization is like at Flyers Training Center. So here is our conversation with Jack Nesbitt from Flyers Development Camp. Development Camp continuing here at Voorhees for 2025, and a special guest here with us for this edition of Flyers Daily is Jack Nesbitt, one of the Flyers' first-round picks this year. Jack, welcome, and I guess to start, maybe take us through the last week. I'm sure it's a whirlwind. It's something you've been anticipating for years, and it finally gets here. What was draft week like, start to finish for you?
Yeah, it was pretty busy. Before the week came, I was definitely really excited to get there, and I was pumped up. Just wanted the week to go by and just to be in that moment. But when I was there, definitely weird feeling in my stomach and throughout my whole body. Something I never felt before. It was really weird. Once I sat in that seat in the theater, I felt a lot better and just a lot more calm. Just, I know I'm going to be good in this and hear my name get picked. So I was pretty happy when I heard my name, and I'm very honored to have them trade up and get me, which is pretty cool. And having Brandon Graham announce my name, stuff like that, it was a great experience, and I would do it again, most definitely.
But kind of leading into that, what communications had you had with the team, if any, leading up to draft night?
Yeah, I mean, talked to them during the season once, just after a game in Windsor. But other than that, just at the combine, had a good convo with them, and that interview went pretty well. And I mean, I feel like they had a good, they liked me a lot, and obviously they did turn it up. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're sitting there in the stands, and I guess it was seats. We're not used to it being a theater. You're sitting there, and then you see the wheels start to turn with that Pittsburgh pick, and then the trade happens. Mm-hmm. Did you have a feeling maybe that was what was going on?
Well, I didn't really know that Philly was going to try to get me.
Okay.
But when the trade did happen, I did have a little bit of a weird feeling going through my body, which is pretty cool. But no, I'm very happy that they did that.
Well, tell us about this camp so far. Obviously, you guys are coming in here, again, a whirlwind here, because you've been in L.A., and then you ship right off here to Philadelphia. What has it been like kind of getting acclimated to the folks around here and the facilities and all that that comes along with it?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, everyone here is very welcoming, and they brought me in with very open arms, and they just comfortable right away. And all the players I met, they're all very nice, and they're very welcoming as well. I knew some guys before playing versus them in the OHL and stuff like that, so I had a little bit of a space there to see them and stuff like that. But no, it's been very welcoming, and this facility is amazing. Like, it's unbelievable for a practice facility, and I can't believe it, but I don't want to leave, so it's sweet.
It is a big draft class, obviously, so you have a lot of guys here that are kind of in the same shoes, and I'm sure you guys kind of band together a little bit here as you go through
it. Yeah, exactly.
tell us a little bit about your game, some of the things that you bring to a lineup, you know, the strengths that you've played off up here over the last few years.
Yeah, I'm a big power forward centerman. I take a lot of faceoffs, making sure I'm good on that. I'm always very gritty. I like playing those dirty parts of the ice and very physical, making sure I'm hitting. I'll fight if I have to. If someone does something stupid to my teammate, I'll stick up for them. But I'm a net front guy. I'll screen the goalie, making sure I'm getting the rebounds, tipping pucks, stuff like that. I'm a full 200-foot player. I like playing in the D-zone and transferred offense, so I love all those parts of the game.
You've kind of been climbing the ladder here, I guess, for a few years now, you know, right, coming from minor hockey into major junior and then right, and then to the U18 team. And this is obviously another step. What can you take out of those other experiences of going up levels as you strive to go up these last couple of levels in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, every level is definitely another level to compete. Going from AAA to the OHL was very difficult. It was, I mean, everyone's older than you, basically, and there's a lot stronger, a lot bigger. It's definitely tough to get used to, but I feel like I did a good job trying to develop there, and with Windsor, they did an amazing job off the ice, just having a great community there, and in the dressing room, everyone's very, very chill, and it's fun to be around. But yeah, in the summer, I made sure I was working hard, doing whatever I can to get better, and this year we had a great year. Obviously not how we wanted it to end, but no, it was amazing going that far, getting my first playoffs, seeing how it was there. A lot different game there, but no, I think definitely going from the OHL to the NHL, it's definitely a huge jump. Just being out here with these guys out here, they're a lot bigger and stronger, and everyone's a lot faster, so it's going to be a bit to get used to, but
yeah,
I'm excited for it.
It does seem like, you know, it's just once you're used to the speed, it kind of takes off. And I guess maybe you had a similar experience coming up to Windsor that first year. I mean, just, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of what you did, right, but seeing your stats and stuff, it looks like you were able to take a big jump in year two. Was that kind of part of it? Just having that first year to get under your belt and
Being more definitely comfortable? Oh, yeah. Yeah. The first year was definitely a little difficult. We were second last in the league.
Okay.
So we didn't have a great team. Honestly, we did have a good team on the score sheet, but we just couldn't put anything together, really. I know it was pretty difficult to get through, playing fourth line minutes and not getting much opportunity. So that was pretty difficult for me. But yeah, like I said, going into the summer, I made sure I did everything I could to get better and what I needed to do. And I did that, and coming into next season, I had a lot more confidence and a lot more opportunity as well. So that was really good.
So you're obviously, you know, in your last couple of years, anticipating the draft coming, and you know, I'm not sure where you were ranked, like maybe a year and a half ago, but it seems like you kind of rocketed up the rankings a little bit, and now it's kind of come and gone, and you know where you're going. Is that a bit of a relief to have a bit of focus here now on, you know, where your organization is, and you know, you can kind of maybe concentrate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, start of this season, I think I was like rated a B, so it's like second, third round. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had some work to do to get that up. So that's what I did. I went to work, and my confidence just kept going up, and I started playing a lot more, and power play minutes, PK minutes, and I was playing everywhere. So it was amazing. Windsor did a lot for me there. But yeah, I mean, that definitely helped a lot, and throughout the year it just kept rising, and I'm very happy about it. And then being selected in the first round, it's very, very cool, and I'm excited for the opportunities.
So that work, what do you think improved the most for you in the last year and a half or so?
I would say my skating.
Okay.
My skating, my first year wasn't great, but I worked on it this summer, and everyone's told me that it's gotten a lot better, so I'm looking to do that again this summer, so I'm excited for that.
And you've got, you know, it's a little bit of a different world down there, because you've got coaches, obviously, in Windsor that are coaching to win games and stuff like that, but they're also trying to develop players. Is that kind of the atmosphere down there, that those guys are working with you on things like that? A lot of folks up here don't even really think about it like that, but they're trying to get you better, so because they know you're leaving. And then the next guys come through here. So that's kind of it's kind of a teaching atmosphere down there.
Yeah, I mean, all the coaches there are amazing. Greg Walters, Chris Newberry, and Casey Torres. They all, after practice, we split up, forwards and D. Sometimes the center goes to center ice, and Newberry drops pucks for us. Just little things like that helps us get better. It helps us a lot, and it shows during games. And just a little things to do on and off the ice, just being around us and having a lot of fun. It's great for us.
So what is the immediate future for you here? You look like your plans here for the rest of the summer after this camp. Obviously, the NHL roster is everybody's goal, and I'm sure it's yours right. as well. What do you do to prepare for the opportunity that's coming your way here in the fall?
Yeah, I think after camp here, I'm going to stay for like a week or two just to be around these guys a lot more and stuff like that. But then, yeah, I'll go back home and I'll train there. I got some power skating there with Kathy McElwain, so that'll be pretty good. But yeah, I'll be training, trying to put some more weight on, work on everything I need to do to get better and hopefully come into camp with a good opportunity and go from there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this. Welcome. We're thrilled to have you here, and we're looking forward to what's down the road here for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Jack Nesbitt joining us back at development camp as he comes into the Flyers organization as the 12th overall pick in the 2025 NHL draft. Flyers traded up to get him. They had those two picks in the bottom of the first round from Colorado and Edmonton, and they packaged those to move up from the high 20s to the 12th overall pick and get Jack Nesbitt there. It seems that they had some intel that there were a couple other teams that might have been high on Nesbitt, so they didn't want to miss out on him and wanted to reach up and grab him while they could. And a guy that really is, again, a blossoming talent over the past year or so. He came into the Ontario Hockey League with the Windsor Spitfires, had 9 goals, 9 assists, 18 points in his first OHL year. And that's a tough year for a lot of players. You know, you're 15 going on 16, and you're coming into a league where you're basically playing against a lot of college-age guys, 18, 19, 20-year-olds in that league. And, you know, you get the exceptional status players like, Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard, Gavin McKenna all had that. And they come in, and they're able to dominate. But most guys do have a little bit of a learning curve in the Ontario Hockey League, and no exception for Jack Nesbitt. And he turns that into a 64-point second season in the OHL. Fantastic second year. He gets 25 goals, 39 assists for those 64 points, ends up going to World Juniors and the under-18 World Juniors with Team Canada and winning a gold medal there. So some big international competition and just a fantastic draft year for him. He'll go back to Windsor and work on getting even better. And the Flyers are hoping that they keep seeing improvements just like they did last year with Jack Nesbitt. Certainly a pleasure to have him with us here on Flyers Daily, and a pleasure to watch in that development camp as he made a pretty good first impression on the Flyers organization. Well, again, if you're tuning in early, come on back in a little bit. If you're tuning in late, check it out right now. The schedule is out on this Wednesday, 1 p.m. is going to be our schedule drop today. That's the big news around the NHL today for this July 16th. There's not a ton of news in July, but the schedule is a little bit later than it has been in past years, but it is here now, or it's going to be very soon. So you can get a look at when the Flyers can be opening up the season and some of the highlights. Jason and I do plan on breaking down the schedule for you on Friday and that edition of Flyers Daily. So come on back in after you've had a chance to check that out. We'll go over everything on Friday and take a look at some of the highlights in the coming campaign. The only thing we know before the release is that February is going to be light again because it's an Olympic year. And the league will be taking probably 2 weeks or so of a break to allow the players to play in the Olympics. So that means everything else is going to be a little bit more compressed outside of the month of February. But again, we'll go over all of it for you on Friday. Again, Jason out today, getting a little bit of energy back, and hopefully we'll be raring to go on Friday. So I'm Brian Smith in for Jason Martinez today. That'll do it for this edition of Flyers Daily. Enjoy the schedule, and thanks for checking in with us here in the midst of this off season. We hope you are having a great summer, and we will talk to you on Friday with another brand new episode of Flyers Daily.